Ted Steele here, and if anybody told you to beware the Ides of March, forget it, my friend, because a love year's coming. And the match knows all about it.
A lion shall lie down beside the man child. Still waters flow where rivers used to run wild. I can feel the love is coming through golden meadows bright. I can feel those love is coming.
Monitors taking a look this weekend at postal problems here at home and in cities around the world. And a good place to start is Texas, where everything is supposed to be bigger. Here's what happens to those letters in Big Spring, deep in the first-class heart of Texas.
In Texas, mail is delivered by the section center concept. The postmaster of Big Spring, Texas, Mr. Frank Hardesty, explains what that is.
We have one city more or less in the middle of an area that serves subsidiary offices around it. This concept, instead of delivering mail to 3,000 individual offices, we break it down to 556 section centers. And now, of course, with the operation of the air taxi, we're getting overnight delivery anywhere within five or six surrounding states.
Hardesty says there are few complaints concerning mail service. Most of them come from those whose checks are late. Mail in Big Spring is handled in a new million-dollar federal building, which was dedicated last January. The only problem in the move was deciding what to do with the mural in the old building painted by artist Peter Hurd. It was left in the old building, which will become a county library. Big Spring has the old problem with dogs. 15 postmen were bitten last summer, but most of the patrons denied their dogs took such action. They said the postmen must have first attacked the dogs. About the most significant thing concerning Big Spring mail service occurred in 1938. When a horned toad named Big Jim toured the U.S. by airmail as a promotion for Airmail Week. Big Jim was mailed from Big Spring in a wire cage and returned to Big Spring 9 days later after going to the west and east coasts. It was still alive and quite a hero when he returned. In the small communities, dedication to post office work is most apparent. Postmasters in rural areas will open on Sundays when needed, and when something needs fixing at the post office, they sometimes repair and pay for it themselves rather than go through official channels. Mail service out here in West Texas might best be summed up by this incident. Last Thanksgiving, a woman mailed her son in Vietnam some Christmas presents. He wrote her back within a week saying, "Great Thanksgiving presents, Mom. What's for Christmas?" This is Bob Lewis reporting for Monitor.
Go as far north from Texas as the Canadian border permits, and the mail service acquires a Montana accent, and that seems to be a horse of a different color.
Ever since the Pony Express rider risked his life and limb to carry mail across the Plain States, Montana has had a postal problem. And today, Montana is pioneering another phase of delivery, at least for our state, with private airmail planes. Two problems have arisen in this effort of getting the mail through. One is the fact that Montana, 550 miles plus from east to west and almost as large north to south, has a sparse population. And getting overnight service, which most people demand, is a rough situation. The second is the inclement weather at Montana, especially this year. A record snowfall and cold spell has brought with it a record number of plane crashes. The philosophy of rain, sleet, and snow and gloom of night has brought some bitter comment from pilots flying the privately contracted aircraft. One of the lines serving Montana lost two planes in a single week. This year, they were forced to shut down, and this caused even more grief. Postal deliveries then had to depend on rail and trucking services, which are much higher in cost than the airlines. And one pilot is dead, and then the other is assumed dead, as the wreckage hasn't even been found. Jack McNamara, the postmaster in the capital city of Helena, Montana, says he doesn't see what the answer is, but places his hopes on the advancing aeronautical instruments that will cope with Old Man Winter's activities. McNamara also said he would like to see some of the smaller city post offices put on a self-sustained basis, like private business, as far as the operations are concerned. He said he was looking at $1 million-plus year, could easily handle the expenses and payroll better than being run from one of the 15 regional offices that are set up in the United States. Like everyone else, Montana's postal system has its problems, too. This is Lee Conte at Montana's capital city of Helena, reporting for Weekend Monitor.
More on the mails collected from places here and overseas throughout the Monitor weekend. And now, neither snow nor rain nor gloom of night, etc., shall stay this courier from the swift completion of her song. Miss Patty Page.
Listen for the love song. Listen for the love song. If you think your chance for love is growing slim, you'll be all alone some night when lights are dim. Then across a crowded room your eyes see him. You'll hear a melody playing, and then your heart will start saying, run, 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 run to him. Listen for the love song. Listen for the love song. The melody will make you soon forget the pain.
Andrew Jackson, our seventh president, was born 202 years ago today, but there's still a controversy about his birthplace. Some records say Lancaster County, South Carolina, and others say Union County, North Carolina. Well, north or south, east or west, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, Big Wilson here. Tomorrow at 3 in the afternoon, the Huntington Choral Society, under the direction of Dorothea Waddell, will perform Brahms' Requiem at the Community Church. That's Church Street in Syosset. Mr. Donald Studholm, who is the organist at the Community Church, will provide the accompaniment. There will be no admission charge. St. Michael's Church presents Marion R. Anderson, organist, graduate student, Yale University, in recital tomorrow, March 16th at 4 p.m. That's at 99th Street and Amsterdam Avenue in New York City. There is no admission charge. Make-believe in a mad mod world will be the subject of a lecture recital by Jerome Bayer, playwright and critic, at the Educational Alliance, 197 East Broadway, on Tuesday, March 18th at 8 p.m. Two films for young teens have been scheduled at the Brooklyn Public Library's Bay Ridge branch, Ridge Boulevard at 73rd Street, for Thursday, March 20th at 7:30 p.m. The films are Judoka, the story of an American boy studying judo in Japan, and That's Me, a comedy dramatization.
WNBC Radio 660 and WNBC FM, New York.
Monitor, telling it the way it is now. I'm your host, Ted Steele, and here's Engelbert Humperdinck telling the way it used to be.
Lonely table, just for one. In a bright and crowded room. While the music has begun. Drink to memories in the gloom. Though the music's still the same, it has a bitter, sweet refrain. So play the song the way it used to be.
That'll open your eyes.
Well, occasionally I take trips at night, and I find myself driving and looking at the white line. You know, this becomes a little hazardous. Well, I remember occasion when I found myself on the grass. I was, you know, really shocked. It was only the horns of the other cars.
When you're tired, don't drive. When you're rested, but the monotony of driving makes you drowsy, pull over, take a break, and take two for the road. Two no-dose action aids. They've got the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, yet they're not habit-forming. No-dose action aids. No car should be without them.
There are 435 members of the House of Representatives, many of them new members, and just getting to know them is a task. Capitol Hill Monitor is a series of meetings with the members. Paul Duke reports on one who used to be known as Gene's Kid, but is now making a name for himself on the Hill.
John Tunney is hardly a chip off the old block. He's a tall, slender, thin-faced young man of 34. His dad is a square-jawed, rugged type with a boxer's build. But the contrast has never diminished the affection of son for father.
I've got great admiration for my father. I know that a lot of people who have famous fathers sometimes have hang-ups about it. In my case, I didn't. I always kind of knew that my father was unusual in that when he would come to the school that I was attending, the boys used to go up to him and ask him for an autograph and that sort of thing. The thing that I remember most of all was that he was a very dominant figure in my life. I didn't know him terribly well, but I was terribly proud of him and terribly conscious of the fact that he was an extraordinarily unusual man.
Gene Tunney raised his family in Connecticut, and it was a good life. But the one thing his son recalls is he never forgot the hard times of his youth.
Dad always would talk about his early background. I think one of the main reasons he did it was to keep us humble, the kids. You know, we had a better life, and I think that he just wanted us to realize that it wasn't always that way, that only one generation away we were Irish immigrants and had it very poor.
John Tunney went to Yale, worked in New York a year, but decided he didn't really want to stay in the East.
I wanted to go west, young man. I felt that California had sort of extraordinary opportunities for a young person particularly, and we were able to live well. The recreational opportunities were great.
So he settled down in California, but once on a vacation in the Netherlands, he met a Dutch girl who later became Mrs. Tunney.
I was on the beach and I saw this beautiful girl sitting in a chair reading the Herald Tribune, Paris edition. So I knew that she spoke a little English, and I went up to her and asked her if she spoke any English. That was my great opening line, which I am somewhat embarrassed by now. But anyway, she indicated she did speak some English, and that was the beginning.
The beginning in politics came when Tunney decided to seek the House seat from California's 38th district. He won with the help of his father and his father's old enemy, Jack Dempsey, plus a unique campaign asset.
We showed the old fight films, and we had barbecues in their honor. And then I'd stand up and say, before I made my remarks, my father and Jack Dempsey are going to be narrating the old fight films in approximately 15 minutes. Anyone that leaves the auditorium during the time that I'm making my presentation is not going to get back in to see the films.
In Washington, Tunney's best friend is Senator Edward Kennedy. They play tennis together, hash over politics, and go out socially. It's a friendship that started when Tunney and Kennedy were roommates at the University of Virginia Law School.
I feel very strongly about him. I think that he had great leadership in those days, very sensitive, always thinking of other people, always thinking of his friends, always doing the nice gesture. Very rarely met anybody that was as thoughtful.
Congressman John Tunney of California, who's staking out a career in the political ring just as his father did in the fight ring. This is Paul Duke for Monitor on Capitol Hill.
The Vogues, who know how to measure an emotion and make it sound like this.
I don't want my arms around you, no, not much. I don't bless the day I found you, no, not much. I don't need you like the stars don't feed the sky. I won't love you longer than the day I die. You don't please me when you squeeze me, no, not much. My head
meet a nice girl? 3¾ million nice girls, in fact. This is Girl Scout Week, and the 57th birthday of this fine organization, in which generations of youngsters have gained self-confidence and learned to take their places as responsible citizens in our community. Give them your support. It's a wise investment in our country's future. And this item, the Ancient Order of Hibernians announced this week the name of a man who will receive their John F. Kennedy Medal for outstanding service to our country. And he's a fine broth of a lad, Colonel Jim McDivitt, commander of Apollo 9. And they promise that if he thinks he's been in orbit up to now, just wait till they finish toasting him at their dinner. Sure, and I'll drink to that. NBC News on the Hour next. I'm your host, Ted Steele.
You go around the world before it turns.
This is Ruth Buzzy. All I said was, the best thing about New York is Charlie Brown. And boy, did I get tell where to go. Woo-hoo!
This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you can hear me, Charlie Brown, weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m.
Here's Bobby Hull, superstar of the National Hockey League.
Big Brothers of America helps fatherless boys grow up to normal, well-adjusted manhood. But many volunteers are desperately needed. Give a few hours of your time each week to be a friend of a boy who has no father of his own. Remember, no man ever stands so straight as when he stoops to help a boy. So call your local Big Brother agency or write to Big Brothers of America, Philadelphia, 19103.
The Big Wilson Show. It's man-sized. Weekdays, 9 to noon. WNBC, Radio 660 and WNBC FM, New York.